Anyone like gardening here? I like gardening. Gardening. Only when there's no weeds. But I do like gardening. So I was gardening this week, pulling out a few weeds. You know, I try and pull them out every couple of days just to walk around and see if there's any weeds, pull a weed out. It's amazing, you know, one day you don't see a weed, the next day there's a weed. Foul things pop up everywhere. So I'm weeding away, pulling a few weeds out. About 5:30 in the morning, just pulling a couple of weeds out as I watch my sprinklers working. And God says, you need to tend your garden, son. I said, I am tending my garden. He says, your garden. So that's the message this morning. Tend your garden. And the garden is the garden of your heart. We've got to take some weeds out. You've got to uproot things before they start taking strength from the other plants, the things that God's planted in your life. Because if you allow them to grow together, they'll entwine themselves, roots of that which God has got fruitfulness in your life, and try and take away from it to feed itself. Amen? That's what a weed does. It takes away, it robs that which you're trying to, that which is growing and that which is not wanted to grow are growing together. And God never intended that for us. Amen? And the reason it's all about the heart is because God has taken away, in Ezekiel it says, given us the heart of stone and given me a heart of flesh. He's already done the transplanting. He's taken away the heart of stone and given you a heart of flesh. If I don't keep weeding, and if I don't keep cultivating the heart that he's given me, whether you like it or not, even as a Christian, your heart will go hard. And it will be as flesh as it was the time he got changed. Amen? We need to keep cultivating our hearts. Philippians 3 verse 14 says this, as we press towards the highest call of God, that we need to tend the garden. Well, it doesn't say that we need to tend the garden. There's a higher calling of God. We sung a song this morning, entering into the Holy of Holies. I quickly mentioned three levels of illumination. If you want to get into the glory of God, you've got to press through. And the Bible says in Revelations, the book of Revelations, that there's a second veil. And it actually says this, it's the veil of your flesh. You've got to get through your flesh, right? Flesh will be constantly, to you and to me, speaking. It speaks to us, all right? Wanting my members to be given to its things. It speaks to me constantly, right? No one will know. No one cares, right? No one's seeing you do that. Just do it. Your flesh wants to be satisfied and fulfilled. My God wants me to crucify the flesh. Amen? Genesis 2 and 12, 2 and 15 says this, then the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to tend and keep it. That word tend, that word keep literally means to guard. Guard and make sure it's fruitful. All right? Keep it right. Guard it and keep it. All right? So why would the Lord put the man in the garden at the beginning to tend and keep something when he's already in a perfect place? He's in Eden. He's in a perfect place. So it wasn't so much about the weeds at that time, it was to make sure that it bore fruit. God wants to make sure what he's placed in you comes out of you and it bears fruit. Amen? So tend it, keep it, nurture it, and then ensure it's guarded to ensure nothing else happens to it. Because even in the garden, there was a snake. Me. So when things seem to be going well, don't just sit on your laurels and your morals thinking everything's sweet and fine. Make sure your garden's right all the time. Amen? Make sure my garden's tended all the time. Because one day you'll be walking past your nice flowers and there's a filthy weed. Amen? And it's there to rob you. Hear me? It's there to rob you. Everything that grows in the garden, there's always there'll be the wanted with the unwanted. He wanted Adam to ensure that that which he was charged with, and that which God took the man. Now, notice they took him there. In other words, God positioned him. God has given you, God has taken you on a journey and he's positioned you and given you something to tend and to keep. There is giftings and callings of God on your life which he expects fruitfulness out of. Amen. He is coming back for his inheritance in the saints. There's a fruitfulness that should be birthing in me, and he took me and positioned, he took Adam and positioned Adam at a specific in the garden. He's taken you and I, because we were born for such a time as this, and positioned me and given me the mandate to look after what he's placed within me, because you and I in our garden has a seed called incorruptible seed. My incorruptible seed should not be living with corruptible seed. My new heart should not birth corruptible. My new heart should always keep birthing incorruptible. Can't live with the incorruption. In other words, it will pollute me. It will defile me. The Bible literally says you'll be defiled. It will defile me and it will cause me to think a different way of thinking that God has intended for me. And all of a sudden, a fight in the spirit, in the mindset, you've got a fight in your heart because you're torn between two. Because I refuse to pull the weeds out of my garden. And sometimes when you pull a big weed, there's a lot of You ever seen those weeds that grow up and they've got them little spikes on them? And you pull them out and you go, ouch. And then you've got to dig it out. There's different methods and different ways of weeding. We'll get into that later. You've got to know how to weed. You've got to know what tools to use to weed. Amen? Roundup is not in heaven. There's no magic spray. All right? He expects me to uproot things in my life. Glory to God. So he had to tend or guard and he had to keep. Every believer has a garden. You and I have a garden. You've been positioned by God in fruitfulness in my garden. This garden you're in charge of, this garden of the heart, for out of this garden springs forth issues of life. Proverbs 4, verse 20 to 27. Turn there on the screens. Proverbs 4, verse 20 to 27. It's not on the screen, so don't look for it. I thought I'd chuck one in. That's not. Let's see if you've got your Bibles. Proverbs 4, verse 20 to 27. It says this, "My son, give attention to my words." What do you have to give attention to?
Words.
One of the tools of the things to uproot weeds is words. All right? "Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your where? In your heart. Keep the word close to your heart. All right? For they are life to those who find them and health. Keep your heart with all diligence." In keeping my heart, I'm tending my garden. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it, the heart, springs the issues of life. Then he gives us a hint how to do that. Put away from you a deceitful mouth. Because your mouth, my mouth, is the mirror of my heart. Because out of the abundance of my heart, my mouth speaks. So the mouth is the mirror of the heart. So straight away, He challenges me, what's coming out of your mouth? What's coming out of my, because my mouth reveals my heart. Are you with me? Let your eyes look straight ahead. Don't look to the left, don't look to the right, don't worry about what that one's doing and don't worry about this. Stop getting involved in other people's business. Just look ahead and keep on walking. "And your eyelids look right before you, ponder the path of your feet." The heart of the matter is the heart. I'll say that again. The heart of the matter, and most of our walk, is the matters of the heart. It's the matters of my heart. Where my loyalty lays, where my love lays. Can we just go a little bit deeper? If my love for God was greater than my love for sin, I wouldn't sin. The reason I sin, does anyone not sin here? Anyone not sin? Oh, good, so we're all in the same boat. The reason why I fall is because my love for it is greater than the love for God. If I loved him more, I wouldn't do it. Because it satisfies my flesh. You hear? So love is a heart condition. All right? It all stems from what I love. So the challenge is, tend my garden. And when he puts it up, and when he shows, because the Bible says this, first the blade, then the head, then the seed. While it's still a blade, uproot it. Because if it gets to a head, it's got seed. And if it gets an opportunity to flourish, you know the kids that they get the little dandelion things and they blow them and they don't realize that's all just seed being scattered out to grow again, right? So if it gets to a seed and it releases seed, you will have to do a lot more weeding. Because it will affect not just some of your life, it will affect a majority of your life. You'll be so much weeding that you're not tending. Are you with me? So the heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. The heart of mine never gets, I've got to ensure the heart of mine never gets fallow. In other words, it gets so hard that when God speaks, water of the word, when God speaks, the water doesn't penetrate. The Bible tells me in Hosea, and also I think it's in, where else is it, love? Hosea and somewhere else. Jeremiah, it's up there. Break up the fallow ground of your heart. Who's got to do the breaking up? That means I've got to do it. I've got to break up the fallow ground. And I do that through humility. Second tool, humility. First tool, word. Second tool, humility. I must acknowledge that his way is the right way. I must acknowledge, say, God, I humble myself. If you humble yourself, you shall be. A haughty spirit comes before her. And for destruction. Pride comes before destruction. So therefore, when I'm producing seed, I can't afford the incorruptible with a corruptible seed. I've got to deal with things in my life. The Holy Ghost will only bring things up when you have the grace to do it. Amen? He won't ask a young Christian, a babe in Christ, to act and do what a mature Christian should be able to do. He graces them. He allows them to grow. He gives them dispensation of grace. But when you become mature, and if you want to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, and if you've been in Christendom more than 2 years, it's time to grow up. You and I have got to deal with issues in life, because out of my heart flows issues. That word issues, if you really look it up, it means seed. It literally means seed. Seed is coming out of your mouth. What you speak today, you'll walk in tomorrow. It's seed. Everything's seed. So when God questions me, or when God touches an area of my life, he's saying to me, David, I've graced you enough. Just like he said to Paul, when Paul sought him 3 times, take away this thing. My grace is sufficient. He's graced me enough to overcome what he's caused me to overcome. When I choose not to, the seed, the corruptible seed saying, you don't have to do that. Your flesh is arcing up. Your flesh is saying, relax about it. No one else has to do that. No one else is walking in holiness, so why should I? No one else is fasting and praying, so why should I? Why should I have to do it? Woe is me. That's what your flesh says. Well, you don't know what they said to you. No, I don't. But I do know what the Bible says to you. The Bible says to love and forgive. And it's not a suggestion. It's a commandment. If I refuse to tend my garden, the unwanted will grow with the wanted. It will try and pollute what God is trying to grow. Give me the next slide, son. If I allow these things to grow, the Bible says in Hebrews 10 verse 12 or 12 verse 10 or 15, there can be a root of bitterness grow in my life. Let's talk about that. Bitterness is not a feeling. bitterness is a result of. Right? Usually bitterness is accompanied with anger. Bitterness and anger go they're best friends. Bitterness is a result of someone feeling used, abused, hurt, and when they start getting angry, it's a thing called bitterness. All right? Bitterness has a root system. Right? Just as much as the God's seeds have a root system in us, bitterness or things like that can have a root system in my life. The dilemma we have is if I don't uproot the bitterness, what happens, the root system entangles with the system of the fruit, the roots of the fruit, and it tries to pollute or minimize the growth of fruit. All right? You will only, have you ever seen it? You ever seen an orange tree, an apple tree? My mum's got a lemon tree. She's been the lemon tree. The ag board came along and said, it's going to kill the tree. Little wasp. It's going to kill her tree. But if you allow it to keep growing, what happens is it takes away from the tree and its fruit, and it misses or makes a dwarf a smaller than it could be. Amen? And so people can bear fruit, but not to their fullest potential. All right? And so this bitterness that grows up within us has to have a justification. And usually the justification is everyone else is wrong and you're right. That's what bitterness says. I'm right, everyone else is wrong. The whole world's wrong, but you're right. As if. That means even God's wrong. When someone's in bed, blame God. Have you ever noticed people that, that don't know Jesus, even people that do know Jesus sometimes say it, why did God allow that? Typical cliche. They never say, why did the devil do that? But why did God do that? If he's almighty and he's all loving, why did God do that? Well, he is almighty and he's all loving. And I don't know why God allows things to happen all the time. But one thing I do know, he's a God that changes not. In the midst of the trouble, in the midst of the turmoil, he's still God. He's still worthy to be praised, he's still worthy to be honored, he's still worthy to be glorified. Whether I see it, I like it or not, he has the perfect picture and the perfect plan. Therefore, glorify him in season, out and up, down. He's worthy of your praise. Amen? It's irrelevant. That's a ridiculous question. It's irrelevant. God is not at fault. Sometimes you've got to look at where the fault comes from, because the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Amen? So this tree of mine, this garden of mine, needs to be cultivated. Bitterness poisons my love. Put them up. Bitterness poisons my love. It makes my love conditional. And it'll cause your love to be selective. I can love you, but I don't really... I like you, but I don't love you. It causes people conditional in their love. But the Bible says you've got to love regardless. God doesn't love me any more than he loves Linda. God doesn't love me any more than he loves Charmian. He loves us all the same. What I've got to do is get in a position to receive the love. Bitterness's best friend is disappointment. They have a party. Bitterness can become generational. Now hear me, it's not a light thing. Bitterness is not a light thing. Bitterness can become generational. If you keep believing things like, oh, you're told you're hopeless, do not expect, do not trust, do not dream, oh, your mum's bitter. And constantly bitter. And you can walk around bitter and you don't even know why you're bitter. You're just bitter. Some people are angry and they don't even know why they're angry. Some people get up angry. I mean, you got up angry. Nothing's happened during the day, but angry. You can just get up angry. You can just flare off. And it's not even a good morning. You've just got up. What caused you to get angry? Because in the night, the devil's beating you. Lies and giving you dreams or whatever, and you get up angry. Because it can become generational. As much as love can become generational, and mercy can become generational, and comfort and all the good stuff can be generational, but so can the bad stuff. I've got to be aware. I can't afford a root system to get around my spirit, man. I can't afford a root system to get around the fruit of God. Bitterness can grow from broken promises and lost dreams. Bitterness can grow from unrealistic expectations of oneself and others. Bitterness can grow from trauma, neglect, or abuse. These things in life want to stunt my growth and consume my strength in my actions and my thoughts. They want to drain me. What tools do I need to tend my garden? I've said the word. I've said grace. We need forgiveness. John 1 verse 17 says this, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth. Hear me? What comes through Jesus Christ? Grace and truth. Grace and truth. If I have minimized in any way in my life by being untruthful, now I'm not talking about just I'm not just saying white, there's no such thing as white lies. Lies, right? Not untruthful in my actions and thoughts, but towards others. But you can be untruthful to yourself. You to yourself. I'm all right. Shah, no, that's not a problem, really. Darling, stop talking about it. I'm okay. And then you're not a. We're lying to ourselves. Allowing his truth to divide with my thoughts and intents, because that's what the truth does. The sword of the Spirit comes to divide thoughts and intents of my heart. Of your what? Your heart. Of your heart. Staying in a heart attitude of humility and receiving God's grace afresh. Sometimes I've got to humble myself, say, God, you're right, I'm wrong, they're right, I'm wrong. Humble myself. Then I've got to say this, give the grace. I need your grace. Strength, grace is enabling power to do. Strengthen me. I acknowledge my fault. I acknowledge my problem. Help me. Amen. He will then challenge you. What's coming out of your mouth? He will challenge the words that come out of your mouth because your words are your own seed. Your words are your seed. I can sow words of corruption or incorruption. God said. And if it's good, it's incorruptible. But if it's my word, it's corruptible. A lot of people's offense remains hidden because they are not truthful to themselves. Hidden offense. Thinking time will just heal it. Time will not heal it. All you've done is buried it. And if the devil can water that seed, it'll break ground. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12 verse 9, my grace is sufficient for you. Turn with me to Colossians 3. Colossians 3 verse 1 to 17. I'm going to quickly. Colossians 3 verse 1 to 17. Time is it? If you then, being raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. That's not a suggestion. If you then, raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. In other words, my focus has got to be in the things above. Which are above, which Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind, set the mind on the things above, not on the things of this earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Therefore, whenever there's a therefore, that's a challenge. Therefore, put your members which are on the earth, what are they? Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God's coming upon the sons of disobedience. Let's move on. In which you yourselves once walked when you live in them. You once walked when you lived in them. But if I walk in them and keep living in them, I'm now a son of disobedience. Verse 8, but now you yourselves are to put off. Say put off. Who's got to do the putting off? You do. I do. Put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy. Here's the one: filthy language. I am shocked at the vocabulary of people that call themselves Christians, some Christians, what comes out of their mouth. Thinking it's all right to swear. Well, it's not. Language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is have put on. Who's got to do the putting on? Put on the new man, which is knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Where there is neither Jew nor circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on. See the weeding I've got to do? The weeding I've got to do is the putting off. The encouragement and the nourishment I've got to do is the putting on. Put on tender mercies. Put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. We don't like that one. Bearing with one another. I mean, the Bible's telling you've got to bear with some people. Even the buying it. It's not all going to be roses with people. Sometimes you're going to have to bear with them. And if they win your life, He's graced you to do it. Bearing with one another. And forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgive you, so you must do. But above all these things, here's the key, above all these things, put on love. Because love covers and all sins. Because love, let's just put it this way, love covers. Because love covers. Dean said something quite profound when he said, we need the holiness of God. If I remember His goodness toward me and the love He showed me, stop looking at others, look at you and reflect on what He did to me and what He forgave me of. I turn around then in love, with the same love. Above all these things, love, faith, hope and love. And the greatest of these is love. Now, I'm not talking about allowing yourself to be loved and abused. Love is very intelligent. When he wanted to abuse Jesus, he walked out in the midst of the crowd and went to another city. You don't stand there getting abused, but God doesn't mind you being used. Because that'll grow your fruit. Are you with me? I'm not just saying stand there and be used, but if you are used, let it go, forgive on. Let it go, forgive and move on. Okay? Because the devil wants to have that root system in my garden. And if I allow that abuse to become bitterness, I was entangling with my fruit. I can't afford that. Where's my book? Can you go to Ephesians chapter 4? I'm going to finish. Ephesians chapter 4. Have we got something out of this? Before close. Ephesians 4. 17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. And the futility of what? Of mind. the futility of mind. The gardens that I've got is my, of my heart represent my soul, is my mind, my will, and my emotions. There could come futility of mind where you give up. You don't renew your mind. You don't water your garden with the word, water of the word. Where you're not praying. So there's fallow ground starting to harden the heart. And even though God's pouring out, because God always pours out, He's pouring out, there can come a crust on the ground that it doesn't permeate. So it sits there and it dies. Long walkers of Gentiles leave their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of what? Ignorance. Ignorance of the blindness of their heart, their soul, who being past feeling themselves over to lewdness to work uncleanness with greediness, but you have not so learned Christ. You have not so learned Christ. Christ came to serve. When the Bible says you have the mind of Christ, you have the mind of Christ to serve and to love and to prefer another greater than yourself. You have the mind of Christ to say, Lord, not my will, but thy will. You have the mind of Christ to say, devil, get behind me. I refuse you to sow seed into my ground, for the word says, and actually gravitate to the things of God, even though you're hungry. Jesus, he said, the devil came to Jesus at an opportune time when he was hungry. He won't come to you when you're so full. He'll come to you when you're hungry. And he'll present you another meal. But the word, hallelujah, the word that's locked in your heart and in your mouth needs to speak, because the word is a two-edged sword, dividing truth. Are you with me still? You know, so if indeed you have heard him and been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you what? Put off. Come on now, this putting on. And I can go on and on in these about a putting on and a putting off, a putting off and a putting on. There's a choice every day that I choose to put on. I've got to choose to put on. I've got to choose to put on the mind of Christ. I've got to choose to follow him. I've got to choose to walk the way he wants me to. I've got to choose to tend my garden, even though sometimes I don't want to be in the garden. He wants me in the garden because what he wants me to do is make sure my garden's growing well, tend it a little bit, so when something happens, it's not so big. I'm prepared. I've got the water of the word. I've been digging. I've been doing stuff. So the job's not as great. And my fruit can begin to grow. Hallelujah. He's placed you. He's positioned you. He took you. You didn't choose him. He's chosen you. He's took you and positioned you in a place that your fruit will be effective in that sphere. But if I allow these things of life to get around my root system, it'll rob me. And I will never fulfill the potential that's on my life because I've allowed something to grow next to me that shouldn't be with me. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Tending the garden will never stop. I'll say that again. Tending your garden will never stop. You and I will be doing it all the days of life. God gave Adam a command, and he's given us a command. God wants to see fruitfulness out of your life and my life. And that even in a perfect environment, it still takes effort to keep the garden. It still takes an effort. You still had to do it. Amen. How's my garden looking? How's my garden looking? God sees a flourishing garden. That's what he sees for you and I. A garden prosperous and full. Full of the fruit, overbearing. Full of fruit. But he wants me to do the putting on, the putting off. And the devil will always be casting seed. Can I go a little bit deeper before I finish? How we cast seed is you in the mouths of other Christians. Have you heard about that person? That they've done this and they've done that? And we pull them down. Or we minimize them. Do you know what? Have you heard about this? Yeah. Ecclesiastes 10 verse 20. Homework. Read it. Do not speak against a king on your bed. King, we are kings and priests, is that true? Do not speak against a king on your bed, for a bird of the air will take a hold of it and come and tell of the matter. So the devil's just waiting for you to speak. Gather your seed. Come along. Sit on the shoulder of a Christian and release the seed. You ever felt someone's been talking about you? Ever had that feeling? I don't know. I just feel someone's talking about me. Yeah. It's a devil. Father, we thank you right now. We come as your children this morning. And God, grace us this morning to deal with the weeds in our garden. That, Father, we can bear not just fruit, but the fullness of fruit. The fullness of everything you have for our lives. God, forgive us. Forgive me, I should say. I don't know about you, but forgive me for things that have come out of my mouth. Forgive me, Jesus. Forgive me. Lord, help me. Lord, to have speak words of life, to exhort, to edify and uplift. And Father, if I see something wrong, teach me to take it straight to prayer. That God, we can see them walk in the victory and the power of the anointing of God in the Jesus Christ. Help me not be a Holy Ghost junior. Help me not to think myself highly or more higher than anyone else. But God, to exhort one another, uplift one another, and edify one another to another level. God, we would thank you. Give me the eyes of the Spirit to see. Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, help me to put on. But Father, before I can put on, I must put off. Help me to take off those filthy rags. Help me to take them off, Jesus. So I can be clothed in your righteousness. In Jesus' holy name. Amen. That is the end of the word. God bless you. Yes. Yeah. And thank you, Father. Lord, we give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. We give you all the praise. That, Lord, we are more than conquerors through Christ who strengthens us. Father, we thank you for a fresh dispensation of your grace. Lord, to overcome things. That, Lord, if you put the finger on it, we have the power to do it. So, God, we thank you that we would walk out of here equipped. Walk out of here, Father, knowing that, God, you're looking for a garden fruitful in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Please stay for a cup of tea, a cup of coffee and some fellowship. That would be great. Amen.